Once again, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Let's say with gusto, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Like we mean it. We are very blessed today to be in the Lord's house. There's no other place for us to be better than this place. Jason, thank you for joining us to our service, to the Burden family, and I believe his fiance or girlfriend, right? So welcome to. She told me her name, but I don't dare to try to repeat it. We have to practice. Yes, we have to just to practice. We have to practice. But still, we like to express our welcome to the entire family and those that came here specifically to show support to the Burden family. You know, the friends, they came to do this. We, like the Smith family, I know that you came to support your friend and your brother in Christ and the family. We are very glad to see you all also. Thank you, girls, for the special music. And thank everyone that took the time to be here today. Today is a very special day. Why? Because it's my Father's Day. Yes, my Abba's Day. Your Father's Day. So today is a happy Sabbath because Abba is here. And by the way, every place you see the word Sabbath, Abba is right there to tell you who is the Creator. Nobody else. You never see the word Son in the middle of the word Sabbath. You don't see Pope. You don't see anything else. All you see there is Abba. And please, I like always to keep remind you every single time. And that way, the reason why Abba is there in the middle of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is the sanctuary for the Holy One. And every time we fellowship with Him, we are also holy because He makes us holy. Today's message, the perfect gift. Anybody here doesn't like to receive gifts? We all do, right? It's hard to give because we have to say, what would this person like? And sometimes we get it wrong. No matter how much effort we make, we don't get the perfect gift for the person who wants a perfect gift. But thank God, God always gives perfect gifts. And that is why we are here. We are here not only because of the Burden family. We are here because Abba wants to be here. And Abba wants to tell us how we can be a blessing and how can we receive a blessing. So today is a child's dedication day. Today is a day for us to commit ourselves as a church family because we are the village that the Burden is count on to help to bring up Micaiah to fear the Lord. So we are here today not only to dedicate one little boy because the family wants to dedicate him, but we as a family also are part of the dedication process. So we are committing this child to the Lord. They are committing this child to the Lord, and this child will be committed to the Lord. Now the sky, how beautiful is our Creator, and He gives gifts. And I don't know if you know in your Bible, but my Bible tells me that God does not give junk to anybody. He does not make junk. He cannot make anything that is damaged. So everything that God does reflects what He is. And if you are not know yet who God is, you are in trouble. You better find out because the Lord is coming and you need to know before then. God is good and He gives what is good. God is perfect and only gives what is perfect. So everything comes from God, never with defect. It's always good, always perfect. Would you say with me, what God gives is always good, always perfect. Every good gift, and I told Brother James, Brother James, I'm going to quote you. So here it comes. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is nothing that changes Him. He is good. He was good. He will be good always, never change, ever. God's gift. Children are a gift from the Lord. By the way, I want you to associate the word gift with a child and with God and with perfect, with good. So I want you to relate those words because that's the intent of our message today, the Lord's message today. Children are a gift, a good gift from the Lord. Children are a perfect gift from the Lord. They are a reward from the Lord to us. Don't forget, God's touch. How does perfection come to be? The scripture tells us, let us make human beings in our own image. And what image is that? God is good. Oh, so goodness, everything that does has goodness. Oh, God is perfect. So when he makes someone, when he creates somebody, all this comes. By the way, there are some people around telling a lie. How do you know that is a lie? Because of the word. They say that we are born defective. A perfect God is creating junk. That by nature we have come already messed up. Therefore, when we do bad things, we do what is natural to us. That's a lie. And the scripture will tell you why. Genesis 1:26. So the Lord said, let us make human beings just like us. Just like us. Good and perfect. God's touch. Then God saw everything that he made and was what? Almost good. It was not only good. It was very good. Like God was improving himself. Very good. Please pay attention to those things, because when you raise your child, when your child does something that you cannot understand, why is this child behaving this way? Remember, God gave him to you good. If he something start copying something that is not good, is not from God. So please do not approach your child with assumption that something is wrong with your child from birth, because God gave him to you perfect. Good. Now your job is to keep him perfect and good. And that is a hard job, because the world around us is not perfect and not good. So you have a huge task in your hand to keep the perfect gift. The gift perfect and good. Now it says here, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So is it possible? There are some theologians, some pastors that says that it's not possible, because by our nature we cannot help ourselves, but we always messed up. That it's a lie. Because what would God say to us that we must be perfect if that's not a goal? When Jesus Christ was saying we must be perfect, he was saying, look back to Genesis when I made you perfect. And that is the goal. You need to go back to that place and you need to be what the Lord wants you to be, good and perfect, because that's the way he created us. For you formed my innermost parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I like people to look to this verse and write this down, because some people are going around saying that when there is a little thing in the womb, mother's womb, that is not a human being. That's just a thing. Therefore, I can get rid of it. Read those words and you're going to change your mind. For you form my inward parts, you cover me in my mother's womb. Look what is going to continue. This is Psalms 139, verse 13. And I chose the New King James because we want to continue to say James, we're going to be talking. And so he says, your eyes saw my substance. Substance is not a shape, is not a human being yet. The substance, being yet unformed, and yet I was already a good and perfect person, because I was already in existence in the mind of my Creator. And in your book, They all were written. What was written? All of them. The days fashioned, all of them, all my days. Micah's, all his days is already in the good book. Is already there. When as yet there were none of them. So when a life becomes a life, not in conception. I know that some of us, we keep saying this, in conception is this. No, is when it was conceived in the mind of God himself. Even before it was conceived in a human body, it was already conceived in God's mind. Because it says, all the days was already in his mind. Psalms 139, verse 16. Now, here's one text that I like to call the theologians to think about it. Matthew 18, verse 3, the New Living Translation. It says this. Then Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children. Why? Because they are good and perfect. Because they do not have yet their minds corrupted. Because they still live in a sense, that innocence that they were born with. They still have it. That God-likeness, they still have it. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Look, in order for you to be saved, you have to erase that sin from your life. And you need to have the purity of a child. You need to be good and perfect. And you cannot be good and perfect if you have a sin harbored in your heart. You will never get into the kingdom of heaven unless you're like a child. Therefore, kingdom of heaven is a place for kids. Heaven is a place for kids. And if you want to be in heaven, you need to be like a kid. Good and perfect. Now, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as this. What it means hinder? There are some families that say, oh, we're not going to church today. I'm too tired. And the children are there. They don't drive. They cannot go to church. You are hindering them from come to Christ. Sometimes with your behavior, because the way you act, you project a false image of Christ in your life. You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself Seventh-day Adventist. Yet, you act in a way that it does not represent. So your behavior is hindering them from coming to Christ. Because the only way they can know Christ is through you. They need to see in you the goodness of Christ. The perfection of Christ. So don't hinder them. Matthew 19, verse 14. Paul says this in Romans 2, verse 14, 15. For when Gentiles or people that do not go to church, they have nothing, no idea about church. They don't have the law. They don't have the understanding. They don't carry the Bible. Some of them don't even know who Jesus is, never heard about Jesus. But yet, by nature, they do the things of the law. How? Because when the Lord made them little ones, made them good and perfect. And how can somebody be good and perfect? Because they have the laws of God written in their hearts by nature. So if it's by nature, who wrote those that? Oh, God's hand himself who wrote. When he was planning all the days for Micah, he already put it, says, okay. All the inner parts that he put together, yes, he did not let the book from being aside. He put the book inside of his heart as well. So the goodness is there. It is up to you to make sure that doesn't go anywhere, but it stays in there. Who shows the works of the law written in their hearts, but in their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the law needs to be there. Now, some of you may not like this. Is here I'm putting on the screen for information. I used to go to attend the church called the Roman Church. I went there a few times. I took catechism. I took my first communion. I'm very familiar with that church. And one thing that we always, it was very common, they repeat many times, that the children need to be baptized. So my parents took me when I was only 2 years old, took me to a Catholic priest, and they poured some water. I don't remember. But they poured some water in my head, and they said that I was baptized. And that water, what a beautiful water, because they said that those little water had power to save me. That's they told us. It says, this little splink of water, it can save you. And they told me to save me. Why? Because I was born defective. I inherited a sin from Adam and Eve. They call the original sin. And what is said, the reason why I said, but Pastor, why you preach to the choir? We know those things. You'd be amazed that you do not know as much as you think you do. Because I hear pastors, Seventh-day Adventist pastors, one asking, it was in the radio, somebody called in and asked, Pastor, what happens to children that their parents are not saved? And those are the words the pastor said. This is a good Seventh-day Adventist pastor who said this. They were as if they never existed. That is not biblical. Since when the Lord has condemned the innocent because of the guilt ones? I don't think they are familiar with Ezekiel chapter 18. Check it out when you go this afternoon instead of doing something else that is productive. Check, read the whole chapter 18 of Ezekiel. Read it also Deuteronomy 24 verse 16. God will never require from the innocent the punishment that it deserves to the one who is guilty. It doesn't matter how bad your father or your mother or anyone in your family is. You don't have the excuse because you make your own decisions. And this is what it comes. For centuries, the Roman Church keeps teaching this, and it taught so with so much gusto that her daughters, the Protestant Church, embraced also. And even inside of Adventism has infiltrated this concept. Catholic News, this was published. 40-some pages were published in April 20, 2007. Vatican Commission said, limbo. Have you heard the word limbo before? Limbo literally means the border. Means you are not in or out. You are there. Forever. That's what they mean. It says anybody who is innocent but is a little bit guilty because they were born human, therefore, so they cannot go to heaven because they were not baptized. They cannot go to hell because they are kind of good and not good. So let's create a place for them and put them in limbo. And they create this limbo. Limbo reflects a restricted view of salvation. This is by John Tavis. It says, Vatican City. After several years of study, the Vatican International Theological Commission, which put together to study this, and they studied this for months and months and months, and it said there are good reason to hope that babes who die without being baptized go to heaven. Look how careful, how political they are trying to say. There is hope. Why didn't they go ahead? It says we create this false doctrine, and we have hurt the feelings of a lot of parents for no reason, based in no Bible at all. And then they continue by saying this. The idea of limbo, which the church has used for many centuries to designate the destiny of infants who died without baptism, has no clear foundation in Revelation. The word Revelation here means Bible. That's what the Catholic terminology for Bible. It says, has no clear foundation. And praise the Lord that doesn't have that foundation there. Imagine if we would have a God that would do such a thing to children. It says, even though it has long been used in traditional theological teaching. By the way, they found out that this was not even a doctrine of the church, but it was taught and practiced by the church. When I became a pastor, briefly I'm going to tell this story. I went to visit a family. The lady was recent Seventh-day Adventist, and the husband has been a Seventh-day Adventist for many years. They married, even though he was Seventh-day Adventist. She was Catholic. So those days they didn't marry those because they are different faiths. So what happened is that the Seventh-day Adventists went to a Catholic church and married the lady there. And then after he never went back to the Catholic church again. You know those tricks that people play, like, I'll catch you and I'll run with you, but we're not going to stay in the same place. And so they did that. So he married her, and then she had a child. And the child, after a few months, became ill. So she said to him, let me take the child to be baptized because the child is very ill. Nope. We don't believe in baptism for children. Now he became Seventh-day Adventist really rigid. He was not really rigid when they went to marry there, but now he became. And she had this trauma because she was a Roman Catholic. And that's what she deeply believed, that unless I baptize my child is going to be lost if my child dies. To make things worse, they took the child to a hospital, a Catholic hospital. And there was surrounded by nuns. And all the nuns told her, have your baby been baptized yet? Oh, no, because my husband is not a Catholic. Oh, you have to baptize him, or because he's going to go to limbo. And what happens, to make the story short, that baby died. That mother cried and cried and cried, and their marriage almost didn't survive. And they lived this drama to a point that she became Seventh-day Adventist, and he thought the whole thing was over, that everything was healed. They had more children, they have three more children, and everything looked like it was forgotten. But if you're a mother and you love your baby, you're not going to forget. No chance you're going to forget. So I came to their house to give them a Bible study because I thought, you know, she's new in the faith. So I will give a Bible study to make her life, her spirituality strong. And also maybe they invite some relatives to come to Bible study. So I decided to start a Bible study this way. And I went there, I was prepared to give a Bible study about the Sabbath, about something else, one of our doctrines. But I got there, and I had this impression that I have to talk about something else. By the way, I have no idea about their story. Never mentioned they were new in the faith. And I was new pastor too. I was young, I was still single. You can tell that it was a long time ago. And what happened is that I opened the Bible and I had this urge to talk about this. The state of a child's heart. Is the child good and perfect, or is the child already messed up from birth? So I started studying the Bible, and that was my first Bible study that I gave in this subject. And after I share a few verses, both of them start crying. I said, what did I do? You know, when you're young, you're not that confident. I says, what did I do? Did I mess up? What verse did I recheck, quietly recheck my verses. Says, did I say something wrong? And they're crying. You know, the lady crying, okay, ladies do cry sometimes. But for this man, this tough fellow that believes that he's so tough, he's crying like a baby too. So I got confused. They look at my face. They saw that I was confused. And then immediately they tried to rescue me of my confusion. They tried to explain to me. Then they told me the story. A story that has been more than 20 years they have been enslaved. Even though they have already been baptized, Seventh-day Adventists, they have renewed their faith. They are in a church. But the hurt was deep there. Brothers and sisters, you have no idea how many millions of people is being hurt by this heresy. And let not be one here. So I want you to know and become preachers of this good news that the Lord tells us. Now to the Burden family. You must love the Lord your God with all your mind, I like this version because this version doesn't mess up with the word soul. It says, you must love the Lord your God with your whole mind, your whole being, and all your strength. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 7. This is a New English translation. It says, these words I am commanding you, but it says, must be kept in your mind. And this is when, I like this verse because this verse tells us exactly how to conduct worship every day at home. It says, you must teach your children and speak to them as you sit in your house or in your car. And says, as you walk along the road or you drive. I remember that my wife and I used to drive from all the way from El Centro to here to Ramona. So we have a lot of time with the children in our car. So we always sing songs. My children are now grown. Some of them are married. And now I have a grandchild. And all the songs that my daughter is teaching her are the songs that we used to sing inside the car. And little Katie used to, are we there yet? I said, let's sing another song. As you lie down, when you go to bed. By the way, one thing we did every single evening, we took time to pray with our children and to tell them a wonderful story, a nice story. Sometimes I run out of a story, so I would make up this, oh, Papa, you're just making up a story now. I think they got too old for my stories. But we did, and thank God now they are passing on the good news to others. Train up your child in the way he should go. And what is going to happen? A few years from now, you're not going to be crying because he left the church. He's no longer interested in the church. If he sees in you how much you love the Lord, they will copy because they want to mold their lives according to yours. So he, when he is even old, he is not going to leave the church. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. He delights in his ways. And I know the Lord will delight in Micah's steps. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Remember? Why? I like sand. When you walk in the sand, you leave footprints. It's easy to follow, right? That's why the little fellow decides to follow Jesus. Yes, he's watching the footsteps of Jesus. He'll know his footprints. He will. Look at where he's paying very close attention to the steps of Jesus, how Jesus is walking. Pretty soon he will be walking also and follow him. The name, oh, by the way, just to see the smile on my brother James' face here, was worth all the time that we put those pictures together. It was worth it. Quickly, burden. Let's talk about the name, burden. You know, burdens sometimes have a sense of something heavy, something that, unfortunately, some people sometimes take the word burden in a sense of a load that is too heavy for me to carry. But there is a positive meaning for the word burden as well. So we took some time. It says, a load that which is borne or carried. A load means not in a negative sense. Any load, anything that I care enough to carry. Because if it's something that I don't carry, I just drop it. But it's a burden because I want to keep it. I want it to continue carrying. It is a responsibility instead of a heavy burden. Old English says a load, a weight, a charge, a duty. But I chose this one. It says a child, that which is born to carry. So it's a good burden. It is a good one. Burden of proof. You know, they use that expression, a burden of proof. It's not a negative thing. Look how the conclusion that I came to, it says, is actually an obligation to present the truth. So next time you think yourself as a burden, he says, I have the responsibility, the obligation to present the truth. So when you tell Mike about that, okay? It is important. The name, Zrinka. The name originally, the source, it came from the husband, okay? So he's the source. He's the one who provided me the source, because I look everywhere. And I would not dare to even try to pronounce those verbs there, okay? But I like the fact that it says, and I like to say, a mature person who observes. A person who cares so much that takes place attention to. So that's what I like to give you, that interpretation of the name of your wife. A person who is mature and cares enough to observe, to pay attention to. And it's wonderful to have her as a mother of your child, right? A person who is careful, observing every detail. Now, James. Now we have one James here, senior. And forgive me for pointing, okay? And then the other James. Of course, the other one is Jonathan. Okay, but James. When you look in the dictionary, when you look in the internet, we all make the mistake to jump into conclusion that the first thing that comes up is supplanter, replacer, holder of the heel. But if you study deeply, you understand that it was not the original meaning for the name, because no father, no Israelite father or Jewish father ever will give a name that is mean, you know, like with a twist to make the child feel bad. Let me give an example. Do you remember that Rachel had two children? One they named Joseph. The other one, she had such a hard time giving birth that she decided to name him a son of my pain. Can you imagine growing up and says, you're a pain? So she died, of course. The father immediately did something that shows to me that this is consistent. He says, I want my child to go the rest of his life thinking something positive. So he changed his from Benoni to Benjamin, means the father, the son of joy. From son of pain to the son of joy. So parents those days, when they gave name to their children, the names was a blessing itself. Every name was a prayer. So that's what's the custom. So I know for sure, and that's what it triggers my mind. When I saw this, I said, no, I have to. And I started searching. And I searched, and I searched for hours and hours, the etymology of the name. I knew one thing, because we study Greek and Hebrew. We knew that every Jewish name that has with the J stands for Yahweh. So I knew the Yahweh was there. I just need to figure out what was Yahweh doing there. So I says, why they put Yahweh here? What is the rest? So as we studied the rest, we found out that actually Jacob means Yahweh protects. Amen. That's what it means. You are not a supplanter. You are not somebody grabbing, you know, the hold of the heel. Heel, that's a title for Satan that strikes the heel of the Messiah. A supplanter is a title for Satan. You don't want anything to do with that fella. So from now on, when somebody asks what is the meaning of your name, says, Yahweh protects. He always have and he always will. So, Micah, who is like God? By the way, when it says who is like God, I want you to understand what it means by who is like God. It says, who is the one who dare to oppose my God, because my God is the only God. That's the first commandment. It says there is no other God. So it's a reminder that there's no other like God. So only Jehovah is God. Okay, you already know Yahweh protects, the Jacob, and burden. That which is born. Okay, that's the one who you carry. Now, I have I made a certificate that I will give to them. And I put those two names together and we decided we could make a whole sentence with his name. Okay? Child dedication, of course, it is the family committing their child to the Lord. Now, how do you bless your child? You don't bless your child with words. You bless your child with an example. If you follow Jesus, the little one will be right behind you, all the way. God's gift, now we like to call Sister Zrinka to come forward. It says, God's gift, your child is God's gift to you. Now, this is what I'd like you to know. That teaching him to love his Creator, it will be your gift to God. God never gave him to you for you to keep. God gave him to you so that you can give him back. Because everything that belongs to God will always will belong to him. Parents, covenant. This is the time. I'm going to put something on the screen. And those are the words that Sister Zrinka and Brother James will say to the rest of the church and to God himself. Okay, she's coming. Now, you can take this microphone and you can say, you can read from the screen, please, okay? Those words are based in 1 Samuel. Go ahead. That is a promise that you're making before God. And this is the time that I'd like to ask, I want the church to understand that dedication is not a work only of the parents. Dedication is a work of the whole church. Because we are the village. This little one is going to move from class to class. He's going to be running. He's going to make noises that we cannot believe that can come out of a little human being. And we need to be there to show Christ. We need to be there to show that he is part of us. God has given him to them and to us to raise him to love Jesus Christ. He needs to see Christ in each one of us. So, church, do you also commit to help this little fellow to see Jesus in every step that you take? Would you please stand and show support to the family? Brother James, look at this. You never have to pay for babysitting again. Thank you, church. Thank you so much. At this time, we will have a dedication prayer. As our custom here in the church, that our head elder, our head deacon, and also a church elder, please come forward. My sister, head deaconess, she's going to join the rest of the family. They're going to form a circle around, because we base that in Psalms when it says, the angels of the Lord are camp around. You know, so you'll be the tent around as you hold hands in the center. We'll be praying with the family in the center. Okay? Brother Smith, send one of you to represent your family and be part of this circle as well, please. And I did ask the family if it was okay for them to hold hands. We see in a situation we have did some things later on that we can use to clean our hands, okay? So at this moment, so we're going to ask the family to kneel with me in the center. So, yeah, let's see. Oops. Hi, Micaiah. Hi. Okay. Let's pray. That's okay. Don't worry. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring before you this wonderful and perfect gift that you have entrusted the Burden family with. We ask you please to bless him as you bless his parents, his grandparents, uncles, aunts, immediate family, and us as a church as well. Allow us, Lord, to give him the good example. Allow us, Lord, to look at him always as a perfect gift from you. Bless Sister Zrinka and bless Brother James as they provide the home, a blessed home for this child to be developed into a follower of Christ. We ask you, please, that as his name means, there is no other like you, Lord. You are the only one. May you always be the only one in his life as well. Protect him as he will be carried in this life. As a human being, Lord, allow him to be successful, be intelligent, be wise, and always be humble before you. In the name of Christ, we ask those blessings upon him and his beloved family. Amen. This is the certificate that we have prepared for them. We're going to be giving them, but this is for all of you have an idea. The certificate says like this: Micaiah Yaakov Burden, meaning, as we put together, who is like God, who protects that which is born. This, he was born on August 31st. One more for August. All right, August 31st, almost out of last year, and in harmony with the Lord's command, he was dedicated today by his parents, his grandparents, and relatives on the 13th day of November 2021 at Vista Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our pastor blessing. May the blessings of Christ, the Prince of Peace, be always with you, Micaiah. Peace without, peace within. May the Sun of righteousness shine upon your parents and warm your hearts until it glows like a great fire, so that your child may feel the warmth of it. May this light guide your child's future, every step to the path of goodness and greatness, so our Creator may be glorified in His creation as well. Sister Zrinka, Brother James, Micaiah's dedication is a commitment to raise him in a way that that foster his spiritual growth and emotional health. The Bible urges you, as his parents, do not exasperate your child. Instead, bring him up in a training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Parents are to teach their children the word of God. Impress these commandments on your child, as the Bible says. Most of all, dear parents, you must be a model, a spiritual model of devotion, of moral integrity, so that your child will have the same conduct throughout his life. The success of your child depends on the example that you set before him. May the Lord grant you the wisdom to do so. Amen. Amen. Now, remember, where there is Mike, there is love. If there is love, everything is. Let's stand, please. When there is love at home.